So we're talking about today in our Green Space series how God brings life out of hard, colorless places. He brings life and color to us, to you. And our theme for today is one vine. There is one vine. All right, so let's pray while you think about that. Jesus, thank you for being the one who brings life, the one who brings color, the one who brings expression into our world. Lord, sometimes when our world is gray and harsh, we lose sight of how wonderful, how beautiful life is. So Jesus, keep reminding us of who you are and the wonder that that brings to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, in America, on July 4th, right, the country celebrates independence from a corrupt power so that they can pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So my question for you to start out today is, what makes you happy? Right? So just take a minute, think about it, maybe share it with the person next to you or the person closest to you. What makes you happy? What's one thing? If you're having trouble maybe kind of figuring out what that is, say, you can say, I feel happy when, what is that? I know if you're a 12-year-old boy, you feel happy when you get a Dr. Pepper, right? So that would be like an example, right? So what makes you happy? Okay, does anybody feel comfortable sharing one thing that makes them happy? James, yeah, go ahead.
I like how spreading the gospel about Jesus Christ and loving others and learning how to play the banjo.
Okay, so man, that's a lot right there. Spreading the gospel about Jesus, loving others, playing the banjo. That's awesome. Yeah, those are great things that make us happy. That's good. Anybody else? Maybe just one thing. Okay, Cody.
I enjoy landscaping and drinking cold coffee in the morning.
Landscaping and cold coffee. Yes, sir. It's good stuff. I'll share one thing that makes me happy here in just a little bit. But when we're looking at our text today, it might be hard to see the happiness in it, right? Because it starts out pretty harsh, right? And so in this text, Jesus is wrapping up his three-part missionary field guide for the apostles, right? 2 weeks ago, Jesus kicked it off with the job description of what it meant to be that short-term missionary he was sending those disciples to be. Now they're called apostles because they're the sent ones. And so Jesus is sending them with a specific task. Last week, right, the second part was about the opposition they would face and how they would handle that through Jesus' presence, peace, and promises, right? Today, he wraps it up by talking about what it is to have a life on mission. So a life on mission. The mission of mobilizing generations to share, to join Jesus in his mission. And so in this section, I want to focus on two key aspects from Jesus' word to the apostles. The two things I want to focus on today are a fake life and a full life. A fake life and a full life. All right? Simple outline today. But Jesus talks about the fake life in verses 34 to 39. All right? And this is kind of the harsher part of the text. So here we go. Read this with me, okay? Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. One more. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Woo! Here's Jesus again, making things awkward, right? All right, so how does Jesus, the Prince of Peace, like the Prince of Peace, not bring peace? What is Jesus talking about here? Don't think I've come to bring peace. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is that about? Jesus' peace is exclusively inclusive. All right? Jesus' peace is exclusively inclusive, meaning Jesus' peace is for everyone, for the world, and not just the world now, but the world back all the way through history, the world as it is, everyone in it right now, and everyone that's going to be. Jesus' peace is for everyone, but it is only through him. Jesus' peace is exclusively inclusive. And not everyone loves or believes peace on those terms. And so they're like, no thanks. I don't want peace if it means it's Jesus. Some people just cannot handle that. And there are others, perhaps like you or like me, that we're down with that peace. We're down with Jesus' peace. Like, we'll take it. We love it. But we want stuff added to it, right? We want Jesus and other stuff that we prefer. But the thing about Jesus and why the point of what Jesus is saying and this, why he brings a sword, is that if it's not Jesus alone, it's not actually Jesus. When it comes to your heart and mind and who you trust and love and depend on more than anything else, Jesus does not share. And so if it's not Jesus, or if it's Jesus and it's not really Jesus at all. So the effect for some when Jesus comes, when the gospel is preached, when his love and his kingdom, his power are at work, the effect can be division instead of peace. Right? And so that's not the purpose why Jesus came. Right? Jesus didn't come to bring division. But that is what happens when he is in this world, when he is confronting sin and death and bringing his peace and love and his kingdom alone into our lives. And it causes divisions. And those divisions expose faith and counterfeit connections. Divisions expose faith and counterfeit connections. And there's so many different counterfeit connections, right? Families can be counterfeit connections. Friends, possessions, position, power, preferences, all of it can be a counterfeit connection. But aren't family, friends, possessions, power, position, preferences, aren't those all good things? Aren't they things that God gives you? Absolutely. 100%. They are good things that God gives you. But like my boy Peter Nasker says, the most dangerous candidates for idolatry, things becoming an idol, the most dangerous candidates for idolatry are often God's most precious gifts. The most dangerous candidates for idolatry are often God's most precious gifts. People who put family on the same level as God or higher. People who put their friendships, their relationships with others, or perhaps how they relate to others at the same level or higher than God. More important. Maybe it's not a height thing. Maybe it's a depth thing. But whatever direction you're going with it, if it is taking God's place in your heart, it's a counterfeit connection. And the thing about these gifts is that none of them last. And they're not designed to last. Now, that also may be a harsh word when you can't think of friends and family or preferences or traditions. But God does not give them to you so that they will last forever. God gives them to you so that they will point you to Him. And when your heart does something else with that, that's when it becomes a counterfeit. That's when the connection loses its power. So if friends and family and possessions and power and position and preferences, if none of those last, right? If our preferences change, if our position comes and goes, if friends come and go, if family, sometimes because of relationships and how difficult they are, if family comes and goes, or sometimes when family dies, right? If nothing lasts, what does last? If nothing else lasts, what does last? Regina and I, if you haven't met Regina yet, I told you you're going to be in the sermon. I checked with you and you said it was okay. So now if you're in my family and you've heard this already, if I don't ask you, I owe you $5. But I asked Regina and she said it was cool. So Regina and I were talking this last week about a question she had from someone she was sharing Jesus with. And the question of how God wrote the scriptures came up. And the part of that conversation that matters for this conversation this morning is that from the beginning to now and to the end that God gives us a glimpse of, right? God has shown us so from the beginning to now and to the end, we see in all the individual stories from the beginning, all the individual stories of right now, all the stories of the glimpse God tells us of what will happen at the end, through all of those individual glimpses, all those specific lives and situations that happen in real time, we see the enduring love and peace and life of God all the way through, over and over and over again. And from beginning to now until the end, we see the enduring love, peace, life of God. And so in all of the stories that happen, it really, God shows that it is one big story, one enduring story of how God's love for you does endure. It does last. God's life for you does endure. It does last. And this is all for you. A life that's real, a life that's full, a life that overflows. And that's the kind of life Jesus is talking about in verses 40 to 42. So let's go there now. A full life. Oh no, I didn't change it. It should say full life. That's ironic. Anyway, no, there it is. Okay. Verses 40 to 42. Let's read this together again. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. All right, so how is that talking about a full life, right? Well, let's break it down a little bit more. Prophet's reward, a righteous person's reward, the reward of a disciple. What is all of that? A prophet's reward is the word of God. The word of God that they've been given, God speaking to them. That is what the prophet receives from God to declare. But it's that power of God at work in them that is the reward. So the word of God is the reward for the prophet. For the righteous one, the love of God, right? If you are righteous, if you are seen as righteous in the eyes of God, you are loved by him, right? And to be clear, when Jesus is talking about toward the end of that first section, right? Whoever does not do these things is not worthy of me, right? None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of Jesus. But that is why Jesus came. That is why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why he comes to you in faith by the Holy Spirit with his word, like a prophet, to set you free, to give you his righteousness. So that in all this, in all things, you can always have assurance that you are loved by God as a righteous person. None of us are righteous, but God is righteous, and he gives that to you by faith, by his power. And so that's being loved by God. That's the righteous person's reward. And so then a disciple of God is someone who follows Jesus' life. And if you're following Jesus' life, you have the life of God within you. So that is a reward. And if you're someone who welcomes a prophet, somebody who welcomes a righteous person who is loved by God, somebody who you welcome someone or care for someone who is a disciple, you get those rewards too. If you welcome them because they're a prophet, you welcome them because they're loved by God, you welcome them because they're a disciple, Jesus is saying, you get what they get. You get the word of God. You get the love of God. You get the life of God. That's the reward you get. And so what we see in this is that God connects to you. God connects to you. In speaking you and all things into existence, in providing for you even when you distance yourself from him, in becoming one of you in Jesus, in saving you, in sending you himself as God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in you and sending you to specific people in real time so that God, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, would dwell in someone else as well. When God connects to you, you get all things. You get the word. You get the love. You get the life now. You also get community, right? You get his grace. You get faith now. You get hope. You get freedom now. And forever. When Jesus returns, his word, his love, his life, his community, all these gifts, all the stuff you get now, that's not going to stop. It's only going to be even more than we can ask or imagine. So when God connects with you, you get all things now and forever. All things now, that prophet's reward, right? The word of God that kills us in sin and makes us alive in Jesus. You get all things forever. That word of God, the love of God, the life of God, these things that don't end. And because of that, the things that we see as small and inconsequential, right? When you do these for the benefit of another, especially one who their life is defined by being powerless or hopeless or loveless, everyday things to them aren't just normal. They're extraordinary. And in Jesus, they're not just ordinary things that are now extraordinary. They're things that echo through eternity. How? If nothing lasts in this life, and especially the things that we do, it seems like it's here today and gone tomorrow, right? How do they echo for eternity? Because it's not an empty, temporary power that is at work in you. It is Almighty God in his eternal power that works through you to bring a kid a cup of cold water, something that soothes the soul and invigorates the heart and body. It's like this. There's another Jesus biographer, like Matthew, right? We're reading from Matthew the last few weeks and for the next few weeks as well. There's another gospel biographer by the name of John, right? Some of you know the book he wrote is John, right? We call it here the Gospel of John. And in this book that John wrote, he writes of a time where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? You can do nothing. So what does that look like, right? It could look like this. Perhaps you were born into a family that always believed in Jesus. You were baptized when you were a few days old. You grew up with God's people. It's a faith you've always known. And at some point in your life, perhaps, you even wanted to be a teacher of that faith. And so you went to school to work as a professional in God's church. And you continue that to this day, and God has blessed you, and there's been struggles, and you're not perfect, but here you are as a follower of Jesus. Or perhaps you didn't know anything about Jesus at all. And how you grew up in your family, or there were different traditions, different things you're focused on. Maybe it was even a different religion or no religion at all. But at some point in your life, God is speaking to you, perhaps today, or God has been speaking to you for a while now, and in the middle of your life or at the end of your life, you begin to be a follower of Jesus. Whatever that looks like for you, the faith is the same. The power is the same. The God is the same. God connects to you and gives you his words. And he gives you those words to speak to someone else, that your lips articulate with your heart. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one vine. In him, you get all things. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the vine. You are the one. In you, there is peace. There is love. There is life. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. Help us to learn this. Help us to believe this. And help us to live by faith. Not because of the righteous things we do, Lord, but only because of who you are, your love for us, what you have done for us, what you continue to do, and your promise that when you return, you'll make things better than they ever were. Lord Jesus, guide our hearts and minds in this, we pray. Amen.